Well, thank you guys for coming to River Church Slough. Thank you for listening, because Gary is here now, ready to speak to us from what the Lord has given you this week, or maybe even last week, I don't know. But he's amazing. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you've put in Gary's heart to speak today. I thank you that he has a clear voice that he is going to speak it with. I thank you that we have got clear, open ears and open heart so we can hear what he has said, what he's saying today. But Father God, today I pray that you are listening and I know that you are speaking to each and every individual person here. That's people here and also people online. So something that Gary has to say today is going to touch the hearts of each person that hears it. So I thank you for that, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Yeah, that's what we're after, isn't it? We're after the Holy Spirit speaking to us, each one of us. And I hope that when you came into the building today, you left stuff at the door. You didn't bring it into the house of God, because this is the house of God and God wants to speak to us today. Livingston, I like what you said. You were so joyous about coming to church. Yeah, that's right. That's good, isn't it? We all need to be joyous about coming to church because we're meeting with each other. We're meeting with our God. And when I look around the room, I see lots of friends, you know, and I think this might be God's favorite church. What do you reckon? Woo, woo, woo! River Slough, where God goes to church. You may want to unpick the theology of that later. But I want to give a special welcome to Paul. Let's give Paul a round of applause. I'll tell you why in a minute. He has come along today just because he's my friend and he wanted to hear me speak. So thank you, Paul. He's got a little cafe in Burnham and called the Positivity Cafe. And he and a group of friends try to do, almost every day it seems, some sort of Christian activity. And they're really going for it, which is fantastic. So it's a blessing to have you here. Thank you for coming along. So, you can see the slide. Last time I forgot to do the clicker, didn't I? And the title stayed up for the whole talk. I'm going to desperately try to remember to change the slides. But we see the still, small voice of God up there. What could we want more than to hear God's voice? Isn't that the thing we want the most? To hear what God has to say to us. What more precious thing could there be than to be close enough to our God and Saviour that we could hear him? And do you ever think or pray, God, let me hear your voice. Are you speaking to me in my life, in my situation right now? I want to hear you, but I'm not sure if it's you. Maybe we pray, God, is that you whispering? Is that you whispering? So, Father, as we contemplate you today and as we talk about you today, we pray, Father, that we will hear your voice, that you will speak to us, that you would encourage us. You would encourage us to draw close to you, Father. That is our heart's desire. Do not take your spirit from us, but speak words of life and of truth, of hope and of mercy, of an encouragement, Father. That's what we're asking for today, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look, I've remembered to click. That's really good. So far, it's going well. Yes, we like this. So, wind, earth, fire, and the still small voice of God. So, 1 Kings 19, verses 11 through 13. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of God, in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. This is Elijah that he's speaking to. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave. When he went up the mount, this was the same place that Moses went to get the Ten Commandments. Elijah is being called by God to the same place to speak to him. This is a holy moment. God has called Elijah. I want to speak to you, Elijah. What better place than to be on the Mount of God, to speak to God? and to hear his voice. But what massive challenges to face. The wind or a storm, the earthquake and the fire. Who is up for the challenge to ascend the hill of God? Who wants to get to the top of that mountain to hear the voice of God? He could have stayed in the valley like the Israelites did when Moses was called up the mountain. Thing is, the valley is comfortable, isn't it? The valley doesn't have those challenges. The valley, you know what the valley says to you? The valley says, you be you. Follow your heart. Do your thing. Live life your way. But the mountain calls. Deep speaks to deep. Many choose to stay in the valley. Some don't even know there's a mountain, or they ignore it completely. Others, those of us who know him, those of us who love him, we think, it's a long way up the mountain. Do I really want to go up the mountain? It's okay in the valley. I belong to him. Safer in the valley. I'm not sure that I want to go up the mountain. But the mountain says, come. The mountain says, come. For those who choose to go up the mountain, they face storms. This wind, storms that shatter the rocks. What are those storms? It could be a loss of a loved one. It could be a relationship problem, a health problem. It could be finances. Any grief, any insecurity. Life is hard. And there are storms that come. We don't want to sacrifice our comfort, do we? We love our comfort. I like comfort. We all like comfort. We like it easy. The trouble is if you seek comfort and you make that your priority, you won't get to meet the King or hear his voice. Comfort does not lead you into the presence of God. Going up the mountain takes you into his presence. Will we trust him when he calls us? When he says, come speak with me, come dwell with me, come live with me, will we trust him, or will we go back to the valley where it's easy? Those who choose the mountain will face earthquakes. The ground beneath your feet is shaken. What we believe gets challenged. What we thought we could take for granted is no longer solid ground. Certainty comes tumbling down. But his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We don't want to give up on our certainty. We like to be sure about sure about sure, don't we? We are sure in our opinions. Did you know that I am sure that I am right on everything I believe? And I bet you are as well. You'd be a bit dumb to actually think I don't believe what I believe, wouldn't you? Yeah? Everything I believe, I think is right. 100%. Every opinion I have is right, in my opinion. The trouble is, something tells me there's a mild chance, a small, minuscule little possibility at the edge of reason and understanding that I might be wrong on one or two things. It's just possible, isn't it? It is just possible that I might be wrong on one or two things. And it's even smaller with you guys. It's even tiny, 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 tiny bit. But there might be one or two things where you're not actually right about stuff. And when you realize that, when you realize that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, these things have to come tumbling down. You know what Job knew? Job was a righteous man. He was the big man of his day. He was righteous. No one could fault Job. And Job knew that God rewarded the righteous, that they prospered. Job knew that. His friends knew that. The whole community knew that. They had a belief system. It said, if you follow God, he will bless you. Not a bad thing. I would say, generally true. What happened to Job? He lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his possessions, he lost his status, he lost his health. Job faced an earthquake. Everything he believed was challenged. And what was left? A very long dialogue with God. You can read it in the book of Job. And he comes to the conclusion that, what do I know? God is God. I will trust God and I will follow him. That was what Job came up with. What about David? King David. He knew he was God's anointed. Did not God choose David as a boy and say, I will use you to be a leader, to bring salvation to the nation? David felt the call. He knew the call. The trouble was, Saul was on the throne. But God, you called me. Someone's got my job. I was meant to do that. It's gone to somebody else. Why? I was certain you'd called me, Lord. Somebody else is doing my job. Why has it been taken from me? David faced an earthquake. What was Job going to do? What was David going to do? Were they going to trust God? Or were they going to turn back to the valley? You know what? When you go back to the valley, and I've said the valley is comfortable. One of the things that happens, if you choose to go back to the valley, it's where you can't change the circumstance, but you can go back and you can sit in your opinion and be right and grumpy. Yeah? That's going back to the valley. That's going back to the point where you say, it's not my fault. It's nothing to do with me. It's somebody else's fault. Everybody else is wrong. Circumstances are wrong. Luck is wrong. God is wrong. But I'm sitting here in my opinion. And we're comfortable in that. We like to be comfortable in our own opinions. Maybe it's just me. I actually think it might just be me, okay, on this one. But I have definitely found over the years that I keep finding out that I'm wrong about stuff. I keep getting things wrong. And I'm having to learn. God is God, and I definitely am not. And we have to trust him. I have to trust him. We all have to trust him. And when we're shaken, when the earthquake shakes everything we believe, we have to trust God. He does know what he's doing. So we've had the storm. We've had the earthquake. Wasn't so good for Elijah, was it? Then what? The fire. Oh my goodness. The fire, the refiner's fire. Our sense of self-importance gets challenged in the face of a holy God. We know what the refiner's fire does. It burns off the dross. You know how the refiner's fire works? When you've got a precious metal like gold, it's got impurities in it. You burn it in the fire and all the dross, all the rubbish, all the impurities comes to the surface and they get scraped off. That's how you purify gold. We know that. But we don't want it because, man, it burns. The refiner's fire is painful. Getting rid of the dross in our lives. We don't want to sacrifice our pride. We're called to say only Jesus, nothing else. But it's hard because you've got to lay down your pride and say, here I am, refine me. Here I am, scrape away the bits that aren't right. Take them away. But you know, if we stand in the fire with Jesus, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, most of you presumably know who they are, we will not be consumed. Jesus stands with us in the fire. Man, can you imagine that? The fire. That is so difficult, but they were not consumed. Do you know, Peter was certain that he would follow Christ anywhere. He proclaimed it loudly. Then he found himself denying his friend, his Lord, his Savior. He stood in the fire of disappointment. He stood in the shame of that until Jesus restored him. It's tough. It's tough. It's tough to stand in the fire. Will we turn back to the valley? Or will we keep going up the mountain? Will we still climb? I saw a YouTube video the other day. I didn't actually watch it, but you know, you get the little clips at the start. And it was a picture of Mount Everest, and there were little crosses where everybody had died. The video was about the dangers of Everest, I think. I didn't get to see it. But it just struck me because I was sort of thinking about this talk, and I was thinking, my goodness, if you were thinking, oh, I think I'm not going up Everest, why would I climb that mountain? Is it really worth it to say I got to the top of Everest, given the risks, given the people that have died? Many, many people die. And then we see the Mount of God. And we see there's a storm. Stay in the valley if you like. Or you can face the storm. Take the risk. Face the earthquake. Going to keep going? Or are you going to stop, turn back? Face the fire. Keep going? Turn back. The difference between Everest and the Mount of God is I think the Mount of God is worth it. I think it's worth it. Yeah? I'm pretty sure God thinks it's worth it because he's calling us. I'm up here. Come be with me, he says. That's where we get to hear his still small voice. That's where we get to hear the whisper of God when we go through things. When we go through things and we say, no, I want it. God wants to speak to those who really want to hear him. Will we seek him? Will we desire him? Will we pursue him? Do we want to hear his voice? Do we want to climb the mountain? Or do we want to stay in the valleys? Do you know there's a lot of noise in the valley? The hustle and bustle of everyday life, the planning, the organizing, and the living our lives, whatever pleasure takes our fancy. You can stay in the valley. There'll be so much noise. You won't have a moment to stop and to think. You won't have a moment to pursue God. Because you've got this to do with your job. You've got that to do with your family. You've got this to do with your house. Everything demands your time. Everything calls you and says, give me attention, give me attention, give me attention, give me attention. Do you know what God says? Hey, come and spend some time with me. You can barely hear it because of all the noise. And God whispers, hey, come and spend some time with me. And we sort of think, is that you whispering, Lord? Am I hearing something? Nah, got to get on with this. Got to do this. Got to do that. Got to do the other thing. If we want to hear the whispers of God, if we want to hear his still small voice, we need to find silence and solitude. And they are at the top of the mountain, beyond the storm, beyond the earthquake, and beyond the fire. Do we want to go there? Will we do what it takes to get there? You thought I'd probably forgotten to click, but that's quite a bit on one slide. So one of my favourite mentions of God's mountain is in Psalm 24. And it says, verses 3 and 4, who may ascend the mountain of God? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. I love those verses. They speak to me a lot. They speak to me. They are a challenge to me personally. And in the last couple of years, I've been speaking to me. I've written a poem based on those verses. Let me read. I'd like to read a poem to you. I don't think I've read one poem here. I don't think I've read this one. This is called The Mount of God. Who can ascend the Mount of God and enter that holy place? Who can ascend the Mount of God and look into your face? Clean hands and a pure heart is what you ask of me. Clean hands and a pure heart that I may sit with thee. But all I bring are filthy rags, and what is that to you? But all I bring are filthy rags, these garments will not do. I am not enough. I fall too short. I fall too short. I am not enough. Who will set me free from this? Can anyone set me free from this? So I look to you, my only hope. My only hope. I look to you. Royal robes as white as snow. You've dressed me as your own. Royal robes as white as snow. I do not stand alone. Clean hands and a pure heart, your gift of love to me. Clean hands and a pure heart, salvation's mystery. I ascend once more the Mount of God, your holy place, your throne, to dwell with you in the Mount of God. My Lord, my King, I'm home. The Mount of God is our home. That is where we belong, in his throne room, in his presence, with him, moment by moment. And you know, clean hands and a pure heart, that's what we need. But we are not enough. It is salvation's mystery. It is a gift of love. It is a clean slate. It is forgiveness and it is grace that picks us up when we stumble on the mountain path and puts our feet back on solid ground. I think Dorothy mentioned it earlier. You know, we are all worthy because he has made us worthy. None of us are worthy in our own strength, but he makes us worthy. None of us can climb that mountain. It is too hard. It is too difficult. The storm is too strong. The earthquake is too unsettling. And the fire burns too much. But God stands with us. God takes us through. He takes us to the top of the mountain. Maybe you feel like that a bit from day to day, from time to time. Now I clicked twice, didn't I? Well spotted. Maybe you feel like that. I hope you didn't read the summary points at the end there. Oh my goodness. Okay. There is purpose in your faith. Maybe you look like that. There's a big question. So I've just laid it out for you, haven't I? Just laid out for you the challenge of being a Christian, to pursue God to the highest place. Why does it have to be that way? Why does it have to be that way? God is a God of love, isn't he? Yeah, we all know God is a God of love. Do you think God could have found a gentler way to do this? I would have thought so. Luckily, my thoughts are not his thoughts, and my ways are not his ways. He knows better. He could have found a gentler way. That's what we think. Perhaps he could have just revealed himself in greater fullness, or just made us a bit nicer, bit by bit. You know, we have this idea and this hope, don't we, that we're going to come to church and somehow it'll rub off on us a little bit and we'll be just a bit nicer each time. And with, you know, a tiny bit of extra bit of niceness. So maybe we start off with 25% niceness, yeah? And we go to church and after a month, Holy Spirit, oh, and we're 26% nice. Another month at church. Oh, I've listened to four talks. They were really good. I've done my little prayer thing. I've helped out at something. Ah, 27% niceness. I'm climbing the ranks. If I stick around long enough, I might get up there with the leaders. Whoa, that'll be good, wouldn't it? You know, and we kind of imagine that we are just going to hang around. And somehow life's going to get nicer and nicer and nicer and nicer. And we're going to get nicer and nicer and nicer and nicer. And unfortunately, it's a load of hogwash. Does not happen like that. There is a lot of good stuff that happens. And there is a lot of niceness and enjoyable stuff. And the kingdom of God is absolutely great. But we're not after the kingdom. We're after the king. And the king sits at the top of a mountain. And there's a storm, there's an earthquake, and there's a fire. And if you really want to get to God, you will go through the storm, the earthquake, and the fire. He is calling you, and he does love you, and he really wants you there. You don't get nice by sitting there. You get nice by going on a journey. You get nice by traveling towards him. You get nice by... God wants to know if you really want it. He is so good with the way he gives us free will. And he says, you choose. You choose how much you want me. You choose. I'm here. Are you going to come here? You choose. And he meets us where we're at. He even meets us if we stay in the valley. But it's limited what we can hear from him. It's limited the blessing that we can receive. He meets us on the mountain. I wish he put our comfort first. I wish this life was all about how to get more comfortable. Wouldn't that be good if the sign of the blessings of God was life was easy? Then I could sit there and I could say, my life is easy. I've got everything I need. I've got family, I've got friends, I've got money, I've got status. This is it. Doesn't work like that, does it? Does every single one of us knows that life is full of challenges? Why? Well, I want to give you some reasons. Hebrews 12, 5 to 11. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you. because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. For the 21st century audience, son means son or daughter. Okay? Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we all have had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So discipline is a loaded word for us. Discipline sounds like judgment, doesn't it? Or punishment. If you go to a disciplinary at work, it doesn't sound nice. So let's use a more helpful word that actually came at the end of that passage that conveys the heart of the message better. Training. Training. God is a God of love. He trains us. He is our Father. He is raising children in his likeness. The problems we face are not tests. They're training programs. If God is so powerful, and we're going to agree that God is powerful, yeah? If God is so powerful, he would make a perfect world, wouldn't he? Don't you think? If God is all loving and God is all powerful, he would make a perfect world. Yeah, exactly. In one sense, he has. He has made this world a perfect world for us to learn to love him and to demonstrate our relationship with him through the free will that he gives us. What do we want? What do we want? I want to know him. There is a time coming in eternity when we will have every comfort. We will have everything, every blessing from God that is possible in abundance. We will have these things. But now he wants to know how much we want him. He wants to see how much we are prepared to pursue him and to look for him. This is the perfect world. There's enough good stuff and there's enough challenge to see how much we want him. God is very easy for us to choose, but very hard for us to continually choose because of all the distractions. You know, not one of us is born with a star over our hospital bed. There are no super Christians. There are just people who have made a series of choices that lead them to a closer walk with God. And every single one of us has that opportunity to walk closer to our God. In this world, we can demonstrate how much his love has reached into our hearts. This world, with all its difficulties, will help us maximize our love for God. And that involves the challenges we face. Do you know, I remember it came to me about 7, 8, 9 years ago. I suddenly realized, I thought, in every difficult situation, there are 2 possible scenarios going on. Number one, that situation allows me to demonstrate how much God has done in my life, how much he has transformed me. I remember one person getting stressed at work, and they were just shouting in my face, shouting at me. They were so angry and frustrated. They were shouting at me. And I was sitting there, and I said to myself, don't smile. Don't smile. But what I was thinking that made me want to smile was I was thinking, this doesn't bother me in the slightest. I know you're upset. I feel for you because you're upset and I try to help the person with the problem. But I'm not bothered that you're shouting at me because I don't feel threatened. Because my God loves me. And you shouting at me, that devaluing. What is that? What does it matter if someone doesn't like you? It's not nice. I'm not saying it's nice. If someone doesn't like you, what does it matter if God likes you? I think I'm one of his favorites. You might be as well. Yeah? What does it matter if the God who created the whole universe thinks you're wonderful, even when you don't think it about yourself? Doesn't matter. So there is this thing where difficulties in life can show the glory of God in action in our hearts, that we have been transformed. The other scenario is where it shows us that we still have some way to go. I get more of those than the first one. Yeah? Yeah? Sometimes God shows us, hey, it ain't working in this situation, is it? You're getting stressed, you're getting frustrated, you're getting anxious, you're feeling insecure, you're afraid, you're in pain, you're hurting, and you're collapsing in on yourself. I want to change that. I want to transform you. I want to bring my love into your life. I want to draw you closer to me. I want to do more in our relationship than you can ask or possibly imagine. That's the God we serve, a God of love who wants to draw us closer to him. That's the other scenario. So we face a world, and I think we're always trying to put the world right, and we do want to bring the kingdom into the world. Don't misunderstand me. But given that the world has its issues, where better to show love than in a world that harbours enemies? Where better to show patience than in a world which often frustrates? Where better to show peace than in a world that's in turmoil? And where better to show hope than in a world where despair is common? When you realise that even the tough stuff is because God loves you, it changes everything. When you realise that your life, with all its ups and downs, are all part of God's program to bring you to the best possible place of loving him that is possible with your free will working with his will. When you realise that, when you realise that the storm is because God wants you at the top of the mountain, when you realise that the earthquake is because God is calling you to the top of the mountain, when you realise is the fire is there because God is cleansing you in your spirit because he wants you at the top of the mountain, when you realise that these things are easier to deal with, that is the God we serve. Questions. It's not easy. Life is not easy. Pursuing God is not easy. Will you climb the mountain to hear God's voice? Will you pass through the wind, the earthquake, and the fire? And will you trust God and let him give you clean hands and a pure heart? That is God's challenge to us today. So I'm going to pray now, okay? Just that we respond to God in that way. And I'd encourage you to engage in the prayer, to make it your prayer as I pray, to allow God to speak to you. If you want to, you can stand, you can sit, I don't mind, it's up to you. But God wants to meet you and me, all of us, today. So, Father, we see you at the top of the mountain. We see you in your holy place. And, Father, we pray that we would hear your call. We pray, Father, that we would know that you're calling us to be with you, that that is your heart's desire, that you want us in your holy place, in your throne room, alongside you. And Father, we know that there are storms. We know there are earthquakes. We know, Father, that there is fire to go through. And yet we still choose you. Will you give us the strength, Father, that when we face those things, when we face those difficulties, Father, will you give us the strength to see our destination, to see where we are headed, and to have the strength to push on, and to say, I'm keeping going, I'm not giving up, I'm not going to the valley. Father, help us not to choose the valley, help us to choose the mountain. Hard though it is, we want to choose the mountain, Father. And when we fall short, will you pick us up, will you lift us up? Will you support us, will you encourage us? And will you help us on the way towards you? And Father, we know to be with you, we need clean hands and a pure heart. And we know that we can't do anything without you. We know that we fall short every time we try. And Father, we pray that you help us to remember it is by grace that we are saved. It is by your grace. Not that we are good enough, but that you make us good enough, that you take our filthy rags and you burn them, and you dress us in robes of righteousness so that we belong with you. Help us, Father, not to be overcome by our own inadequacy, but help us to trust in you, to allow you to live in our hearts, for us to get out of the way, and to allow your righteousness to shine in us and through us. Father, you know who has prayed this prayer along with me. You know this is my prayer. You know those, and I hope it's all of us, who have wanted this prayer to be our prayer. And Father, you are a God who hears our prayers and answers our prayers. So I pray you will answer this prayer for all of us in this day and in the days to come. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you all. Amen.